we're only able to do the work that we do, saving historic battlefield green space, because of the financial support of our members, of our donors, of the folks listening right now. And that takes money. I like to say you're the ones saving battlefields. You're just doing it through us, through CVBT. And, you know, having the money at hand to do that work when an opportunity comes up, you know, we're able to grant fund and fundraise, you know, after the fact for a lot of these projects. But we need upfront money as well. Mm-hmm. If we don't have the cash on hand, as they like to say, we're not able to start the process of saving battlefields. And that's why, you know, this 60 for 30 fundraising campaign that we're in the midst of right now is so important. We're looking to raise $2,000 for every year of CVBT's existence, so that coming into 2026, we have money on hand to be able to, you know, start that next preservation opportunity.
Yeah. Boy, and I just think, Tom, where would we be in this area with, well, a lot of historic sites, there would be homes on them.
True, and we also look at it, if you look at the growth of this area, we've now gone over 2,000 of saved acres. That's green space, not even if you don't care much about history, that's green space. Go down Route 3 in areas around Chancellorsville and like that and think about what it would look like with those other 2,000 acres developed.
But as you drive around here and you just think about it, if there were nobody to say, hey, you know, we need that, where would we be?
Definitely, and we're finding out more and more that there's less and less properties out there that don't have something already on them. So, you know, some of this 60 for 30 money can help us, you know, remove modern structures that are on properties to return them back to their Civil War time appearance. Help us purchase or do things like surveying that needs done and having appraisals done on the property. All those things are sort of expenses that you don't really think about when purchasing a property, but they become pretty expensive. So that's a big help to us.
Well, and all around the area, I can't go anywhere around this area when I see little pieces of land that you guys have been involved in and have saved and have looked at that and thought that'd be part of that subdivision or that would be gone. And the stories you've told on the land you've saved have been just remarkable.
Yeah, we're finding out stuff all the time, and there's still more to be discovered too. I'm excited about this 3rd Massachusetts Light Artillery property that we just recently purchased out in Spotsylvania. Maybe getting a trip up to the National Archives and doing some digging into that unit and finding out a little bit more about what happened there. So, yeah, there's just stuff that needs to be a little time put in to dig it up.
For over just about 29 of our 30 years, we've put all our effort into purchasing and saving the properties. To give you an idea, in the 30 years we've been doing this, I think we're around 44 different tracts with an investment of close to $10 million. So purchasing the tracts and saving them were first and foremost. Problem, or the challenge, I should say, about purchasing tracts around here is you buy an acre here, half an acre here. You don't normally get a stretch of 100 acres that you can buy.
Yeah.
So wanting to get access to the public for what they put, you know, you donate to the 60 for 30 or one of our land appeals, we always want to have the people be able to stand on what they purchased. Because, again, like Terry said before, you know, the public has purchased it.
Yeah.
We're the intermediate getting the grants and everything. But until we were able to put tracks together that were contiguous, large enough, where a trail system or some signage, wayside signage makes sense, really hasn't happened until now. So I voluntold Tim, pick a couple tracks that you think we could open up, you know, expenses again with these things, that we can get the public on, put some trails there, some wayside signage, so the story can tell itself, and I'll give it to Tim from there.
Yeah, we've had a bit of previous success in doing this with a couple of our properties. At the Pelham's Corner, we have interpretive signs and even an artillery piece to show the direction that the Pelham was firing.
It's a great spot, by the way. If you've never gone down there on Route 2, boy, go look up in the whole Pelham story. But to be able to stand there, you guys have done a great job with that.
Yeah, and then out at Harris Farm as well is another interesting piece of property that has some interpretation on it as well. But, yeah, going back to what Tom said, it seemed pretty obvious that one of our pieces of property along Jackson's flank attack is really suitable toward interpreting. We call it the Rhodes Dole track because that's where those two, that brigade George Dole's brigade of Georgians swept through as they were going. There's a pull off there of Route 3 where people can pull off, and then we'll have a couple of interpretive signs there telling what happened. And then a little bit further up on the May 3rd fighting at Nine Mile Run is another piece of property that we have. It gets very little coverage in any of the history books, but it is a fascinating fight, and there's been tremendous amount of accounts from both sides that are very descriptive in explaining that piece of fighting that's kind of detached from everything that's going on up near the Chancellor House in an earthwork that still survives there. So we're really excited about the possibility of getting that open.